Today is December 31st. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible on this final day of 2011. Today marks the close of the sixth year, 7 days a week. Never amiss, nonstop, through God's Word. Six full revolutions through God's Word. And of course, the Daily Audio Bible never ends. Tomorrow we will begin year seven. And yet at the end of every year is this kind of melancholy sense of, okay, there's the excitement of completing something that we've started. Something very, very holy, a sacred journey, a pilgrimage through God's Word, and what God will speak to us. A season sort of ends. We release a year. We let it go to God. We release it to our history. And we look forward to what he will do in our lives in the coming year. And so it is with that in mind that we open God's Word together for the final time in 2011 and finish all of the books. Reading from the Contemporary English Bible, the Contemporary English Version for today, Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, 6. I, the Lord, all-powerful, will send my messenger to prepare the way for me. Then suddenly the Lord you are looking for will appear in his temple. The messenger you desire is coming with my promise, and he is on his way. On the day the Lord comes, he will be like a furnace that purifies silver, or like strong soap in a wash basin. No one will be able to stand up to him. The Lord will purify the descendants of Levi as though they were gold or silver. Then they will bring the proper offerings to the Lord. And the offerings of the people of Judah and Jerusalem will please him, just as they did in the past. The Lord All-Powerful said, I'm now on my way to judge you, and I will quickly condemn all who practice witchcraft, or cheat in marriage, or tell lies in court, or rob workers of their pay, or mistreat widows and orphans, or steal the property of foreigners, or refuse to respect me. Descendants of Jacob, I am the Lord all-powerful and I never change. That's why you haven't been wiped out, even though you have ignored and disobeyed my laws ever since the time of your ancestors. But if you return to me, I will return to you. And yet you ask, how can we return? You people are robbing me, your God. And here you are asking, how are we robbing you? You are robbing me of the offerings and of the 10% that belongs to me. That's why your whole nation is under a curse. I am the Lord all-powerful, and I challenge you to put me to the test. Bring the entire 10% into the storehouse, so there will be food in my house. Then I will open the windows of heaven and flood you with blessing after blessing. I will also stop locusts from destroying your crops and keeping your vineyards from producing. Everyone of every nation will talk about how I have blessed you and about your wonderful land. I, the Lord All-Powerful, have spoken. You have said horrible things about me, and yet you ask, what have we said? Here is what you have said. It's foolish to serve the Lord God All-Powerful. What do we get for obeying him and from going around looking sad? See how happy those arrogant people are. Everyone who does wrong is successful, and when they put God to the test, they always get away with it. All those who truly respected the Lord and honored his name started discussing these things. And when God saw what was happening, he had their names written as a reminder in his book. The Lord, All-Powerful said, "You are people, precious to me, and when I come to bring justice, I will protect you, just as parents protect an obedient child. Then everyone will once again see the difference between those who obey me by doing right and those who reject me by doing wrong." The Lord said, "The day of judgment is certain to come, and it will be like a red-hot furnace with flames that burn up proud and sinful people as though they were straw. Not a branch or a root will be left. I, the Lord All-Powerful, have spoken. But for you that honor my name, victory will shine like the sun with healing in its rays, and you will jump around like calves at play. When I come to bring justice, you will trample those who are evil as though they were ashes under your feet. I, the Lord, All-Powerful, have spoken. Don't ever forget the laws and teachings I gave my servant Moses on Mount Sinai. I, the Lord, promise to send the prophet Elijah before that great and terrible day comes. He will lead children and parents to love each other more, so that when I come, I won't bring doom to the land." And this concludes the Old Testament. Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 21. The angel showed me a river that was crystal clear, and its waters gave life. The river came from the throne where God and the Lamb were seated. Then it flowed down the middle of the city's main street. On each side of the river are trees that grow a different kind of fruit each month of the year. The fruit gives life, and the leaves are used as medicine to heal the nations. God's curse will no longer be on the people of that city. He and the Lamb will be seated there on their thrones, and its people will worship God and will see Him face to face. God's name will be written on the foreheads of the people. Never again will night appear, and no one who lives there will ever need a lamp or the sun. The Lord God will be their light, and they will rule forever. Then I was told, "These words are true and can be trusted. The Lord God controls the spirits of His prophets, and He is the one who sent His angel to show His servants what must happen right away. Remember, I am coming soon. God will bless everyone who pays attention to the message of this book. My name is John, and I am the one who heard and saw these things. Then after I had heard and seen all this, I knelt down and began to worship at the feet of the angel who had shown it to me. But the angel said, 'Don't do that. I am a servant, just like you. I am the same as a follower or a prophet or anyone else who obeys what is written in this book. God is the one you should worship. Don't keep the prophecies in this book a secret. These things will happen soon. Evil people will keep on being evil, and everyone who is dirty-minded will still be dirty-minded. But good people will keep on doing right, and God's people will always be holy.' Then I was told, 'I am coming soon, and when I come, I will reward everyone for what they have done. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. God will bless all who have washed their robes. They will each have the right to eat fruit from the tree that gives life, and they can enter the gates of the city. But outside the city will be dogs, witches, immoral people, murderers, idol worshippers, and everyone who loves to tell lies and do wrong. I am Jesus, and I am the one who sent my angel to tell all of you these things for the churches. I am David's great descendant, and I am also the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Everyone who hears this should say, come. If you are thirsty, come. If you want life-giving water, come and take it. It's free. Here is my warning for everyone who hears the prophecies in this book. If you add anything to them, God will make you suffer all the terrible troubles written in this book. If you take anything away from these prophecies, God will not let you have part in the life-giving tree and in the holy city described in this book. The one who has spoken these things says, I am coming soon. So Lord Jesus, please come soon. I pray that the Lord Jesus will be kind to all of you. And this concludes the New Testament. Psalm 150, 1 through 6. The Lord is good to his people. Shout praises to the Lord. Praise God in his temple. Praise him in heaven, his mighty fortress. Praise our God. His deeds are wonderful, too marvelous to describe. Praise God with trumpets and all kinds of harps. Praise him with tambourines and dancing, with stringed instruments and woodwinds. Praise God with cymbals, with clashing cymbals. Let every living creature praise the Lord. Shout praises to the Lord. Proverbs 31:25-31. She is strong and graceful, as well as cheerful about the future. Her words are sensible and her advice is thoughtful. She takes good care of her family and is never lazy. Her children praise her, and with great pride her husband says, there are many good women, but you are the best. Charm can be deceiving and beauty fades away, but a woman who honors the Lord deserves to be praised. Show her respect. Praise her in public for what she has done. And that concludes the entire reading of the Bible for 2011. I get to this point, like I was saying, and I don't know how to feel. I'm flooded with memories of the year, different passages of scripture that spoke, different times of the year when they spoke. I'm flooded with memories of all of the traveling that we did. How many times did you climb into the suitcase and go all over the place? We went to Africa together this year. We went over to Hawaii. We've been all over the United States. We've been up to Canada. Gosh, if I looked at my calendar, I could say all of the places that we've been. I was trying to count up the flights that I've taken this year, and it's definitely up there near 100. Now, some people are just road warriors and live on flights and planes, and I guess I'm not that, but I do fair bit of moving around, and that's fun. That's a beautiful thing, actually, for us to go through the Word and travel around while we're doing it. I think of all of the faces that I've seen, the eyes that I've looked into, the hands that I've shaken, the necks that I've hugged in all sorts of different scenarios and in different cities, and I think of the stories that have been told to me about the power of God's word in a person's life, the way that it brings comfort, the way that it brings healing, the way that it brings restoration, the way that it brings hope in a hopeless situation, the way that it does what it seems to claim, the way that it transforms us and orients us to God. I think of those of you who have traveled through or traveled to Tennessee here to be at the Wind Farm Cafe or to worship with us at Four Winds. Very rarely does a week go by that somebody's not passing through. I think of the thousands of emails that I've read this year, all with lives and stories attached to them. This is one of the reasons why I love the genealogies in the Bible. So many people say, man, when we get to the begats, I'm just checked out. I was doing a radio interview with a guy, and he's like, yeah, when I get to the begats, I'm begone. It's funny. But I've come to love them because every one of those names spoken aloud represents a life and a story. And I think of the emails in the same way, a life and a story and a connection to God's word from somewhere on this earth at this time in human history. I think of new beginnings. I'm to be a father. Jill and I will have a baby. That's for sure a new beginning for us. I think of endings. Just a couple days ago, my wife's grandmother passed away. She was elderly, but she leaves a gaping hole in Jill's heart, at least for now. She knows that she's with Christ, and certainly out of her suffering in a good place, but the memories come flooding when these things happen in reflection and deep, deep contemplation begins to happen, and this kind of happens at the end of the year anyway. So I think of those that have gone on. I think of the emails that I've gotten from people who have suffered tragedy and were seeking God to see them through his word. You've probably been doing some thinking yourself, and it's funny just how things bubble to the surface. The little things, just the little nuanced things that you just wouldn't even think when you should give the time of day, but they matter. And then the big things that matter. And then little things that my son Max, who always has something interesting to say, little things that he's said along the way that have been brilliant. And then I think of things that God has said through his Holy Spirit and through his word that have been huge. I know that if God hadn't spoken the word retreat over the beginning of this year, which I really thought was odd, especially with the previous year being advance, I thought maybe I'd missed something, but that saved me. I don't know what would have happened. I would have derailed. I would have come undone somehow. I'm not saying I wouldn't be here. I'm just, if I didn't have that advance word and know that everything needed to be retreating behind God, I would have made some really poor decisions, probably. In my own strength, things that I have really tried not to do with the Daily Eddie Bible. I've done my very, very best to hold this ministry in my hands and go, I don't know why I'm here, but while I am here, I'm going to steward with all I have this thing that is holy, God's holy word, and a community wrapped around it all over the globe seeking to know Christ. I'm going to do everything I can to keep that pure and holy. And so hearing the word retreat helped me. Hearing the word shift going into the new year helps me, and I think helps us, because it's a shift of our paradigm. The new year is for us to live our lives as if everything we hear in the coming year in Scripture is true, and to live as if it were true. And I'll unpack that more. Jill and I were talking about that today. How do we do that? I mean, Jesus made some amazing claims about who we are, and we don't live as if it were true. But what if it were true? What would that do? How weird are we willing to get? How strange of a life are we willing to lead? If everything in the Bible is true, what does that say about us? Who are we really? What does that mean? And I'm looking forward for God to reveal the answer to that question in the coming year. And so I realized that this is the sad part. This is the end of the line for some of us. For some of you, you will go and find other expressions of getting into God's word. And my deepest and most heartfelt prayer is that your relationship with the Bible will go on for the rest of your life. That God will speak to you deeply through his word. And I'm thankful that that's a very small minority. Most people that dive into the Bible in community stay in the Bible in community. But I do bless you if that is you and you're going into other things. I bless you with all of my heart. And it is my solemn prayer that over the time that we're apart, that we stay fond of each other, and that you know, no matter what, the Daily Audio Bible will be here at any point that you want to dive back in. I also realize that even though this is the end of the year, there are just a plethora of brand new faces and ears listening, going, okay, this is weird. So I'm looking forward to tomorrow and diving in. What's this end of the year thing? What isn't this just some kind of Bible reading? Why all the sentimentality? You'll see. We become family here. We start a year together, and so quickly God starts speaking and starts moving. And we start praying for each other, and all of a sudden you start caring for people. And it's weird because you're driving down the road or riding on a train or listening in your bed at night or over your oatmeal in the morning, and somebody comes on and says something and immediately you're in tears and you're praying for a person on the other side of the world that you'll never meet, but you care deeply for because they're your sister or they're your brother, or something pops out of the speakers and God is like sitting in a chair next to you saying, "This is what I want to say to you, son. This is what I want to say to you today, sweetheart." And you're just rocked because God's word is his word. It's like, holy cow, it's God speaking to me. So this is it. December 31st, 2011. And if I'm honest, 2011 was a hard year. I think maybe more hard than easy. And yet it's the things that are hard won that we remember most and that build the character and faith in us the most. So as we close, I guess the appropriate thing to do is something that I do often, almost always when I speak. And I will also leave us with a song that I guess is my song from me to you. Music has always been such an integral part of my life that maybe it says more than I can say. Maybe it speaks more than I can speak. So we release to you, God, the year 2011. We close the books, the hurts, the pains, the wounds, the offenses, the victories, the smiles, the happiness. We release all of these things to you and to history as we move forward into the future, and we look forward with longing to all that you will do to shift our hearts and minds in the new year as we become more oriented to you through your word and more like you. We love you and we worship you, and we're breathless for what you are about to do in the coming year. We love you and worship you, Christ. Thank you for coming for us. In Jesus' name, we pray this. Amen. And to you I say, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. May the strength of God go with you. May the wisdom of God instruct you. May the hand of God protect you. May the word of God direct you. And may you be sealed in Christ this day and forevermore. Amen. It has been an honor to spend the year with you. I don't know what I'd do without you, to be honest, as we travel through this world in exile, as it were, completely restored to God, but still completely longing with desperation for his full and utter redemption of everything. And we sing the songs together, and we walk with joy together into what comes next. I love you. I will be waiting for you here next year.
Feeling like a refugee, like you don't belong to me. The colors flash across the sky. This air feels strange to me. Feeling like a tragedy. I take a deep breath and close my eyes. One last. On the plains again, we were born into the
forever, forever.